Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Another translation says, out of the overflow of your heart, bleh, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. Anybody know that scripture? Hear that scripture? There's a couple of identical scriptures like that in the Old Testament, but this is a New Testament. And you know what it says? That if we're not pleasing to God with our words, if we're not pleasing to God with our words, it's something on the inside that's not in a good place. Something in the good is not in a good place. And, I say this all the time. People say it also. Hurting people hurt people. Well, that's because hurting people got some things on the inside that aren't in a good place. So what do? Bam, 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 bam. All right? So this whole series, we're going to talk about the power of our words, then getting our heart, and then speaking out. Praise the Lord. So we might be talking. I've got five heavies here. We're going to be talking about problems with gossiping. I used to say that was my favorite last big sin. Man, just girls gossip. Nobody gave me an amen on that. All right, okay. Problem with lying. Problem with criticizing. And you might be thinking, I know who I'm going to bring to that one. All right, bring them. And also be open too, because God's always dealing with us. So let's pray. Let's open our hearts. Let's open our hearts. Let's open our ears. Let's open our eyes. And let's pull from heaven, not pulling from Pastor D that she'll do a great job, but would you dare believe from heaven that God would drop something that you need today, the moment, whatever's going on. So, Father, we declare that our eyes are open. We declare that our ears are open. We declare that our heart's prepared. And, Lord, that you would drop words that would just, bring light, revelation to what I need this morning, what I need in my week. And I thank you that I have it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Years ago, when my kids, my kids are all, I have four kids, they're all 2 years apart. And I think the youngest one that time was probably first grade. So just count two, two, two. I'm taking four kids. It's the summertime. It's August. And I am the mom that thinks my kids need to go on a history trip. We're going to go to Philadelphia. We're going to go where history took place. Okay, it's probably the week before school starts. It's August. In York County in August, get your ACs on, right? So I decided to take my four kids, Jack's work, and I bring my good friend Bev and her two boys. Six kids, two mamas. Yeah, gonna be great, right? So, I really wanted to pop a picture up here of what this looked like. And I have searched every photo album. And then the Holy Spirit said, somebody stole it. My kids go in and steal pictures now. I was like, would you just make a copy? But, so I was like, go talk to somebody. But anyway, so I was going to show you a picture. It's a picture. We have already been to see the Liberty Bell. We have already been to see the Betsy Ross House, and I think we are getting ready to walk into Independence Hall. And it's a courtyard, it's got trees, it's got benches, and six kids are sitting on the benches. And two mamas are standing up, ready to go. And some kid says, whose name will remain nameless, okay? Some kid yells out, I hate this place! Next thing I know, six kids are going, this is boring, I'm hungry, when do we leave? So I walk up to the nameless kid, and I said, you will stop complaining, do you understand? I can't tell you who it was. And I am like in here. I don't know who this creature was that came out, but some creature came out in front of that kid, and I'm just, letting him have it. And I said, listen, we are going to go see history. You are going to love history. You are going to enjoy history. And if not, you're going to be history. So do you understand, buddy? No more complaining. Do we got that? Right about then, when I was thinking about this, I thought, oh my gosh, I sound like my mother. So this creature inside of me just calmed down. And I thought, oh my gosh, I could chuck him in the river. every single one of them. And Bev and I could just go back home. Life would be easy. Okay? It was like the worst day. And it got a little better after I did my tirade. Okay? But any parents ever have some of those complaining? Yeah. Just bananas. Okay? So I want to talk about complaining. I have just, the title of this is called Complaining. All right, no original titles today. Right on the top of your card, if you're taking notes, complaining. Okay. Do you know anybody who has a problem complaining? Don't point. Keep your eyes straight ahead. All right. Maybe you're the one, right? Maybe the one. Okay. Now, when I think about the subject of complaining, I got to go to the Old Testament and the children of Israel coming out in the wilderness, right? Right? Open up to Exodus. That's where we're going to start. Praise the Lord. Now, if there was an Olympic sport about complaining, those Israelites took all the golds, right? You know your story? They complained. They got the gold medal. Too bad it wasn't a sport in the Olympics, all right? And you know, the really crazy thing about this is they had been in bondage. They had been in slavery for hundreds of years. And God comes on the scene and does miracle after miracle after miracle for them, like the 10 miraculous plagues so that Pharaoh would let them go. And then they hit the Red Sea, and God splits the Red Sea. And then all the bad guys that were chasing them get smushed, drowned, okay? God did that. And then they're out in the wilderness for quite a long time, 40 years, and God supernaturally feeds them, right? He gives them manna from heaven every day and quail, and then he gives them water from a rock, and then their clothes never wear out. Okay, and you know what those Israelites did? They do what a lot of us do in the midst of all the blessings that God has done in your life, doing in your life, right? All right? So they were complaining. And how many people do a little bit of complaining? Okay. It's kind of funny. As I prepared for this for the last few weeks, I was like keeping score. Oh, gosh, that was a complaint. Oh, gosh, that was a complaint. You know? Okay. So these people were whining, griping, complaining. And yet God just, I mean, my circuits would have been all over the place, that all the miraculous things and the blessings God did. So, yet Exodus chapter 14, here we go. This is how the story, this is like my kids in Philadelphia. Praise the Lord. I was thinking, I'm going to go back there because I'm not sure I remember too much about that trip. I don't know why. So Exodus 14, this is the whole bunch. The murmuring, grumbling, complaining bunch talking to Moses. And they say to Moses, ready? Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And I want to go, what planet are you guys from? Okay, and you know what really what they're saying is, hey, Moses, we love being in bondage. We love being slaves for hundreds of years. We hate that God fed us every day and took care of us. We just hate it. We hate that we're free. We hate it. Amen. Somebody's got something going. Praise the Lord. Those Egyptians, right? All right. Okay, so listen, they are murmuring, they are whining, they are complaining. Now jump down to Exodus chapter 16. This is Moses' response. Okay? Does anybody know? Help that person out. That's right. I just throw my things to my kids. Okay. This is Moses. And listen, he didn't do a crazy like I did with my kids. He's actually a little bit nicer when he talks to them. It's actually a little sobering. So here we are. Exodus chapter 16. And he says, this is Moses. You're not complaining against us, guys. He says, but you're actually complaining against God. Ooh. Can you imagine that every time we complain, every time we complain in the middle of the enormous blessings we have? How many of you have blessings in your life? Listen, you're saved. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of God. You've got access to heaven. You've got all this. You've got hands up. How many of you have blessings from God? Not even counting the natural things here. All right. So every time we complain, can you imagine? We've got all these blessings. And when you complain, God is saying, hey, you're complaining against me? What? You're complaining against me? And I have just shown myself to be a good, good God. I'm showing my goodness, and you're complaining against me? Right about then, I'm pretty sure they all was quiet for a few moments, right? So, purpose of my message is I would like to help all of us, myself included, because I was keeping score going, oh my gosh, I did that again. Oh my gosh, okay. But I would like us to, hopefully, that this will bring light to where you're most common complaints are, that you'd see where you complain. Sometimes we don't even know that was a complaint because we're so doing it, okay? So I hope this opens your eyes that you can see where you're complaining. And so this is your question. What is the thing I complain about the most? Write that down. What is the thing I complain about the most? If you're in a grow group, that should be your opening discussion question. Okay? If you have family devotions, you should do that. I don't care what age your kids are. They should just sit down and go, wonder where I complain the most. All right? Ask your spouse if you think you don't have any. They'll encourage you on where you complain the most. All right? I think it's a good discussion question, don't you think? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So, what is it that I complain about the most? Now, for a long time, some people did this. I'm not raising my hand. I just want to be married. I just want to be married. I can't believe I'm not married. I want a husband. I want to be married. And Susie over here, she's not even serving God, and she's married. God, that's no fair. I don't want to be married. I want to be married. I want a husband. I want a husband. Okay, what is that? Complaining. And then, wah, you get a husband. And you're going like, God, I can't believe you gave me this husband. He drops everything all over the house. He smells. He chews with his mouth open. Okay. And we're complaining, right? We're complaining. All right. And you might be the person that just loves to complain about your boss, loves to complain about your boss, loves to complain about your job. Those are the dumbest meetings we have. They're so boring. They're just wasting our time at work. That's a complaint, right? How about you? Does anybody complain about the weather? About how slow your Wi-Fi is? How come a Netflix doesn't have anything good you can binge off for the week? Complain, complain, complain. Now listen, the amazing thing is you start digging into the Word of God and you just ask the Holy Spirit to bring a big light on top of you is the weather is not the problem. Wi-Fi, slow, not the problem. Netflix, they don't know what you like. Not the problem. You know what the problem is? Write this down. It's your enemy, Satan. It's your enemy. How many of you know you have an enemy? Yeah. Okay, it's the enemy. And you know what he does? Satan tries to take your eyes off of the goodness of God. He tries to take your eyes off of going, God, you're good. You're always with me. You go before me. The angel armies are wiping everything out for me. You know, he takes your eyes off of the goodness of God. And you know what he does? Me, 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 me. It's all about me. Okay? Yeah. That's my mirror. In case you didn't know, that's my mirror, all right? So he tries to take our eyes off of there, and he puts them on, he gets your eyes off of God. God's a good, good God. We sing 100 songs about that. God loves you. We sing more songs about that. You read in your Bible that he loves you, okay? And he takes your eyes off of that, and you start looking at yourself. You start looking at yourself. So I'm going to say it again. You have an enemy, and he's going to distract you from God. The goodness of God, the blessings of God, that God loves you. On my worst day, my best thing is to know that God loves me. He just loves me, all right? And your enemy's going to take your eyes off of just God loves me. Huh. And it's going to get all over me. And you know what happens when it's all about me? Me, 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 me. You know what happens? you slide into the slippery slope of complaining. You'll slide into complaining. You'll get stuck. You just go whoosh, and you just start complaining and then listen, there's a lot of things to complain about. I found out I was keeping score this week. I'm going, oh gosh, I got to knock it off. I got to preach this thing. I better start doing this thing. Okay? Now, right about now, I can do a really great job of beating you guys up and making you feel convicted. And yeah, just tell you, okay? Because most of us complain. Most of us at some point in time, you know, see if you can make it through the day, all right? Complain, all righty? And some of you complained all the way to church. We're going to be late. We're going to be late. Oh, my gosh. We're going to miss the coffee. We're going to be late. We're going to be late. Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to sit up front and Pastor D will know we're late. Oh, okay. Oh, they didn't play any songs that I like. Oh, it's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. All right. You know, it would be easy to give you the guilt trip about how much we complain. Okay. It would. All right. But listen, you know what I want to do today? I want to bring some encouragement. I want to bring some encouragement. So get rid of the junk. Don't even take it. I tell people, who was I talking to this week? They are ready to beat themselves up. I said, don't even take that. That's a bunch of junk. So don't take that junk. And listen, I want to encourage you. There's a goodness of God. Just keeping your eyes on that. Just keep your eyes on how good God is and how much he loves you and his goodness is for you. So I don't want to beat you up on complaining, but I want to encourage you. And listen, when through this encouragement, I'm believing that we'll get out of this easy fruit of complain into the joy of worshiping God and just telling him how wonderful he is. God, you got me the best parking place today. Awesome. Okay. You know, just get into this joy of worshiping and telling him and thanking him and praising him. So we are going to talk about not complaining, but my goal is to get you into this. Amen. So I'm going to start with a scripture. Open up to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This is such a powerful scripture. It's just kind of amazing, this whole story that I'm going to go with. This is talking about the Apostle Paul. Anybody ever hear about the Apostle Paul? Every hand should be up. Come on, you've read your Bible before. Gosh, okay. Let me give you, and you know, when you think about Paul's life, you're like, man, he could understand complaining. That boy could score on the complaining if he wanted to. So let me give you background. This is, we're in Philippians. Paul is writing a letter to the Philippian church, okay? He's writing a letter to them, and he's writing from the very place he always wanted to go. Okay, how many of you always wanted to go to Hawaii? How many of you ever wanted to go to, okay, wherever you want to go? Paul always wanted to go to Rome. Paul is writing this letter in Rome to the Philippians. And he always wanted to go to Rome. And you know why? Because he wanted to go preach to the most influential city where everything, that was like the center of the universe at that time. And he just wanted to go to Rome and get up there and tell people about Jesus and who God is and what Jesus has done and the new life. He always wanted to go to Rome so he could preach. And actually, it would just spread out of the whole world at that time. So where was Paul's dream? He always wanted to go to Rome. Well, the story takes place in Rome, and Paul is actually in Rome, only thing there's a problem. Yeah, he's a prisoner. He's not a preacher. Well, so you think. Okay, getting ahead again. He's actually in jail. He's in a Roman prison. Okay, now wait a minute. I always wanted to go and see the sights and eat pizza and go to all the museums with Pastor D. No, he didn't know. He wanted to go preach. And yet, instead, he's in prison. And he's in prison for about 2 years. Some say a house arrest, but he's got these Roman soldiers that he's chained up to for 2 years. And he's almost with the possibility, let's say this, with the possibility of an execution. So you could say for 2 years, he's sitting in this prison in Rome, like on death row. It's a good equivalent to what was going on. So this is the background of Paul. And now we're going to read. Okay, let me just say something. So So I was sitting there thinking about Paul. 2 years. 2 years of my life. 2 years of my life, and I'm stuck in a prison, and I always wanted to go to Rome. I'm in Rome, and I always wanted to go to Rome, and I'm stuck in this prison. And listen, prisons were not like your county. Your county, they got TVs. They got heat. They got hot showers. They got food. They got basketball courts. Okay. No, no, no. Go do a little research on these prisons back then, okay? Yeah, yeah. They got beds. Yeah, they, okay. So I would be this, you know, I'm sitting there thinking about Paul, and I'm thinking, oh, baby, I could have a conversation with God. You know what I would be doing? I'd be going, God, I've been serving you all these years. God, this ain't fair. God. And so on. God, hey, I've been shipwrecked for you. I've been bit by a snake for you. I've been stoned serving you. I've been left dead serving you. God, this is not fair. What's going on? God, don't you love me? I could really roll with the complaining. Anybody else? None of you have ever had a prayer like that with God, discussion with him, all right? I could do that. But listen, Philippians 2, verse 14. This is Paul writing in prison, and this is what he says. Verse 14 and 15. Do everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. From the rising of the sun to the going down. That's everything. Everything all day long. Do everything without, brace yourself, grumbling, complaining, arguing. Okay. Read, you don't even want to read the Amplified. It just makes it even big. So he's saying, hey, do everything you do without complaining. I'm just going to use that one word, complaining. Why? Everybody say why. This is a two-year-old. Why? Okay, he tells you. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped, crooked generation. It's bad out there, right? Okay. And then you will be shining stars. You will be the light. You will be the big light that people will see Jesus. All right. So that's the why. And yet he says, what? What? Do not complain. Okay. Do not complain. All right. Now, there's a lot of spiritual reasons why you shouldn't complain, and we'll touch on that. But there's also some practical reasons why you shouldn't complain. One, your mother might go, you will not complain again. But let me tell you some practical reasons not to complain. I read this book a couple years back. It's by Travis Bradbury. He wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And this guy, I think I'd have better things to say, but do. He does a study about complaining. He does a study about complaining. Okay, and this is what he said. You should write this part down. He says that complaining actually rewires your brain to keep complaining. When you're a negative complaining person, you actually, well, so my way of saying it, you get in the loop. You can't, it just rewires to do more complaining and more complaining. Yeah, like those kids in Philadelphia. This is boring. I hate this. I want to go. Okay. Okay. So, say, for instance, somebody brought you to church. First time to ever come to YCF. And you said this negative thing. I'm not going to like this church. And then you come in the parking lot. I don't like this church. Then you come in the foyer. I don't like this church. And then you come in here. And I don't like this church. I don't like this church. I don't like this church. Guess what? You're not going to like the church because you have got on the roller coaster, the loop, the loop-de-loop, okay, of complaining. Your brain actually goes there. Isn't that incredible? Whew. All righty. So I love this. So, you know, I hang out with ladies, and I've heard ladies say this. Man, they're just a bunch of losers. Yeah, they're all, and then they all jump in. Yeah, they're all losers. They're all losers. Hey, guys, I know some guys that are not losers. But you know what happens when you're saying, guys are losers, guys are losers? You know what you're focusing on? What you focus on is what you're only going to see. All right? You're going to focus on, the guy sneezed, big deal, so do you. But you're going to focus on, he was so loud, he shook the room, all right? You're going to focus on the negative. You're going to focus on the negative, and you're going to get stuck on the negative, all right? You will only see the negative because your brain is rewired to do the loop negative, negative, negative. So complaining is not only spiritual, it's also practical. And, you know, if you think about the world that we live in, there's a lot of negative stuff going on. If I don't watch it on the news, you guys tell me on Facebook. I'm like, unfriend. And you know what? I don't need to focus on all the negative and then have my mind trained to just go on that negative slippery slide. All right? How about, you know what I need? I need my mind focused on the goodness of God. That's a better loop. Amen? That's a better loop. All right. So if I were to give you the big main idea that I want you to get out of here and remember all week, this is what I wrote down. What you focus on or what you look for is what you're going to see. What you focus on is what you're going to see. What you focus on is what you're going to see. Praise the Lord. So listen, I want to look for God and I want to see the goodness of God. Everywhere I go, I want to go, God, where are you in this situation? Where are you, God? And then I want to see it. And then I'm going to focus on it. And then I'm going to see more. And then I'm going to focus on it. How many of you would rather focus on the goodness of God than all the negative junk out there? Amen. So I want to give you 2 points today. I got it down to two. Amazing. 2 points, all right? But first, this is what I'm going to say. What do we do as a follower of Jesus Christ? Any followers of Jesus Christ? Okay, so what do we do when we get into negative stuff, negative circumstances? What do we do when we have negative situations? But I'm a follower of Jesus, okay? What do I do when I get into these negative situations? 2 points, real simple. I made it really simple. Here you go. Number one, if you can't change your negative, excuse me, if you can change your negative situation, do it. If you can change this negative thing that's going on in your life, do it. Do something about it, all right? It's really simple. First one, if you can make a change, go do something about it. Now, the next one, but what happens if you can't? What if you can't change the negative situation you're in? Ready? Change your perspective. You change your perspective. So some things you're stuck in, but you've got a way of changing it. You've got resources. Maybe God just drops this big idea. You can change this negative thing. But a lot of times we are in negative situations I can't change. So what do I have to do? I have to change how I see it. I have to change what I say about it. I have to change where my brain goes about it. Everybody say, change your perspective. And you know, this is what Paul did. This is what Paul did there, okay? And he could have been tempted to have just a party complaining about all that he's stuck. All I ever wanted to do was go to Rome, and here I am stuck for 2 years, chained to these Roman guards, okay? He could have done it, but he did point number two. If you can't change it, change how you look at it. Change your perspective. Change what you say. Change your brain. Change your brain on how you look at it, all right? So he does. He changes his perspective, and you can look over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. Philippians chapter 2. Now, Paul could not change his situation. He's chained to some Roman guards. He's in this prison. He can't change it. So he goes and changes his perspective. And this is what he says. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Philippians 2, 17 and 18. Let me, sorry guys. Philippians 2, 17 and 18. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on a sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, I'm glad. I rejoice with all of you so that you too will be glad and rejoice with me. So he's saying, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering, I'm going to be glad. I'm going to praise the Lord. Okay, so I've read this years and years, and finally I dug into it a couple years back. But what the heck is a poured out as a drink offering? Does that mean he likes Diet Coke than Pepsi or something? I don't know. No, that's not what it is. Okay, so it goes, it has to do, that whole phrase, poured out like a drink offering, has to do with one Greek word, S-P-E-N-D-O, because you know I barely speak English and definitely not Greek. Spendo, is that what I would call it, spendo? Okay, so this is what it means. Now, when he said poured out like a drink offering, everybody that he wrote this letter to, they understood exactly what he was talking about, but I didn't and you didn't. So let me tell you what it means. It means that when the priests would offer a sacrifice, they'd get an altar. Maybe they'd build an altar. Then they'd stick wood on it, okay, bonfire night. Then they'd light the fire. And then they'd kill a lamb on it. Or some kind of animal on top of there, and they would make an animal sacrifice. Okay, so y'all with me? They got this bonfire going, and okay. Now the spendo, this is the part where it says they would pour something on top of the animal sacrifice. And it was always something that was a liquid that was really expensive. Usually a really expensive wine or even honey, some places say. So they would pour this wine on the sacrifice unto God, as a sacrifice unto God. So picture this. They've got this sacrifice, and they're pouring their most expensive wine on top of it. And what happens when liquid hits fire? Psh! Yeah, it makes that sizzle noise and smoke. Right? It makes sizzle noise and smoke. So when the smoke went up, it was a spendo, a liquid sacrifice unto God, and a worship unto God. It was a worship unto God. So Paul was saying, even if my life is poured out, I'm going to rejoice. It's going to be a worship unto God. Even if my life is poured out, I'm going to be glad. I'm going to praise God. Now, Paul at that point didn't have a word of knowledge. You are going to die a martyr. Okay? And that's why he wrote that. He didn't know any of that at that time. He didn't know the way he was going to die. Then why was he saying, even if my life is poured out, it'll be a worship to God and I'll praise him? Because Paul said, my whole life is a sacrifice, a worship unto God. I think he got over the me, poor me, and it was about the Lord, right? And that's why he couldn't complain. Praise the Lord, the guy got it right. Now, he also says this same thing in Romans chapter 12, and you all know this, Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read it out of the New King James, and then I'm going to read it in the NIV. And this is Paul. He's saying the same thing just at another time and just throwing some more words into it just to make your picture really big about your pouring out your life. He says, I beseech you, raise your hand if you're you. You're the you, okay? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Okay, I want to read this out of the NIV because it's going to take the last part and get it really big. Okay, therefore I urge you, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your true and proper worship. Worship. So how many of you would say complaining is not worship to God? Amen. You got that. I am smarter than a fifth grader. Complaining is not worship to God, but just living, just looking for God and the goodness of God and where he's moving and not complaining. That is a worship. That is your sacrifice. Praise God. That is your sacrifice. All right. So Paul, is actually saying, this situation I'm in prison for 2 years, chained up to these Roman guards. They're actually, some places say the imperial guards, in the palace. I'm chained up to these guys for 2 years. This situation that I never wanted to be in. He didn't really want to be in prison. Okay? He didn't want to be there. This situation, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to complain. Instead, I'm going to look for God who's still with me. God who's a good, good God. I'm going to look for where God is working. Okay? And I'm just going to rejoice. I'm not going to complain. He must have been to Philadelphia with me when I went ballistic. Not going to complain. All right? So, if you can change your circumstances, do it. If you can break out of jail, do it. Right? Paul couldn't break out of jail. If you have what did I write down? Oh, this is a good one. The doctor says, hey, listen, I don't like the way your blood pressure's going. I'm going to put you on medicine, or I want you to change the way you eat and I'm going to exercise. Well, guess what? You can change your circumstances, so do it. All right? If you can change your circumstances, if you can, go do it. Go do it. If you hate your job, change your job. Just go do it, right? But if you can't, like Paul, if you can't change your job, then you have to change how you look at your job. You have to change what you say about your job, what you say about your boss. You have to change where your mind goes. Okay? You have to change. All right? So instead of saying, I can't stand my job, oh my gosh, how about you change in what your perspective is and say, Father God, I thank you for this job. I thank you that it's paying the bills. I thank you I have this job and there's people that are looking for a job. Change your perspective on what you say about your job. All right? And you won't be the grump that's walking in all the time too. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. I didn't mean to say that. Here we go. If you can change your circumstances, change it. If not, you have to change your perspective. All right. Now, then I'm going, okay. I like this. But Paul, how in the world did you do this? How in the world did you change what your perspective to where you were going to go? I rejoice. By the way, Philippians, the book of Philippians, 16 times he says rejoice or joy in there. And he's in prison. He's writing this. So how did he do this? How did he change his perspective in there? Well, since you asked, I'll tell you. Ready? For Paul, it wasn't about Paul, the center of the universe. For Paul, it wasn't about, oh, me, I. For Paul, he knew the center of his life, the center of his story, the center of him was Jesus. All right? You have to change your perspective off of you back onto the Lord God and the goodness of God and his love. And, you know, I'll go off on a skyrocket on that, okay? So if you can change your perspective like Paul, you'll also be sweeter and sweeter as the days go by to hang out with, all right? So if you can't change your situation, your negative situation, change your perspective. And the first thing is get yourself off of you. I don't like this. Shit is that. Get it off of you and get it onto the Lord. God, you are love. You are love. You love me. I love you. Just get it back on there. I got to tell you, there's lots of things to complain about. All right? And you get one person who's focused on me and myself and I, and then you get two people focused together that are on me, myself, and I. Guess what? They are going to have a complaining party. They're just going to go, whoa, and the next thing you know, I can run a marathon complaining. Complain. I just can go. All right? Don't raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, but listen, if we recognize, wait a minute, it's not about me, you big old baby. It's not about me. It's about my Savior who died for me, who took everything, my sin, everyone's sin, and brought me into freedom. It's about him. I am going to stop complaining. Amen. Praise God. So One, if you're taking notes, we have to recognize that Jesus is the center. He is my story. You don't have a story except for Jesus is your story. He's my story. And I'm going to tell the story of him in my life. And I'm going to get off of looking in the mirror. Okay? Praise the Lord. So this is how Paul did it. In the middle of a prison for 2 years, chained to Roman soldiers. And he said, even if my life is poured out, I am going to rejoice. I am going to sing praises to him because my God is with me. He's good. He's faithful. And I'm going to see what he's doing. Open my eyes, God, to see what you're doing. So this is how he changes his perspective. Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I love this. Okay. Everybody say, praise the Lord if you hit Philippians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. This is Paul. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. I'm reading out of the NIV. And he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters. So he's talking to us believers. He's talking to Christians. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, by the way, what happened to him? He's in jail. For how long? 2 years with a bunch of stinky guards, right? And I'm pretty sure they do not have a bed and air conditioning. So he says, I want you to know, everybody, what has happened to me. All right, that could be the complaining part. But listen what he says. But has actually served to advance the gospel. That's because Paul wasn't looking at me. He's looking at this. Okay, getting ahead of myself. Okay, it has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace, the whole palace guards, to everyone else that I am in chains for Jesus. Wow. So you know what he's saying? You think I'm the prisoner. You think I'm in here and I'm stuck in here. You think, but what you don't know is I am chained to a guard. Every 8 hours I get a new guard. And in 8 hours I do an 8-hour sermon telling them about the goodness of God, that God sent his son Jesus to die for you, that God will set you free and you can be this and this and this for 8 hours. And you think, poor me is the prisoner. Who do you think the prisoner was? I think those Roman guards were the prisoner. Praise the Lord. And he's saying, listen, I have been given strategic influence into the palace of Rome, all because you think I'm the prisoner. He wasn't the prisoner, guys. He was not the prisoner. Man, gosh, he's telling them about Jesus. He's telling them about this. He's telling them about that. So who do you think the real prisoner was? Those palace guards. Praise the Lord. So think about this. Here's Paul chained to these Roman guards in the palace. One place calls them the imperial guards. Here's Paul chained 24/7 to one guy, then the next guy, and the next guy. So he's chained. Now, who are you chained to right now? Write that down. Who are you chained to right now? What is your negative situation right now that you think you're chained to? Who are you chained to? What are you chained to? What negative situation do you think you're chained to? Okay? And what could do you wish that you could change about it? Okay? Could you change something about it? All right? If you can change your circumstance, do it. Do it. And there's a lot of negative situations, not just in your own life, but God's put you in circles where there's injustice. And if you can change it, go after it. Go change it. All right. So if you can change your circumstances, go for it. But if you can't, then you have to do what? Change your perspective. So Paul said, even if my life is being poured out like a S-P-E-N-D-O, I am going to rejoice. I am going to worship the God, okay? Even if I'm stuck in this dead-end place called York, PA, Even if I've got some serious physical things going on, even if my finances are looking really bad, even if I'm going to let my life, I'm going to hook up with the Lord, and I'm going to praise Him, I'm going to give Him access into my life to move, and I'm going to worship Him, and I'm not going to be a complainer. Praise God. So it's a choice we have to make, all righty? So 2 years ago, actually, Stacy, 2 years ago, July 3rd, I'm walking down the hallway downstairs talking to Stacy. And back then, I was super impatient. I've gotten much better. So Stacy's talking to me, and I'm walking backwards. Come on, girl, follow me, follow me. I got to go upstairs. I got to go upstairs. I got my Bible, my big heavy purse, and I trip, and I fall, and I break my wrist. I dislocate a bone. I shatter a bone, and it was a big owie, okay? So I finally listened to the voice of reason because I was like, just tie me up, put some ice on it, I'll be fine. That was not a spiritual prayer. That was just too big for my britches, okay? So I'm sitting up here, sitting up here with ice and a dish towel. I can do this, I can do this. Then I looked. Oh, my God. So Margie and Stacy, so I go to OSS, and yeah, you did it, lady. So I end up by having surgery, and after surgery, I had 6 months of physical therapy. And first, I was complaining. All right, I was complaining. I didn't write the message yet. I was complaining. Are you kidding me? 3 times a week? I don't have time for this. I can't do this. This is ridiculous. It'll be fine. Meanwhile, the very first day of physical therapy, they said, I'm in this thingamajigger here, bend your fingers. And I'm going, they didn't bend. I thought, okay, we're going to physical therapy. I still don't have time. This is dumb. I hate this. I hate this. Complaining. Well, the head lady that runs the physical therapy for the hand department, this is hand and wrist department, is from like where the sound booth is up to me and about this wide. This is the room that they put you in. And they got all those little tables that you have in school. You know, there's a little table this big with a chair. They got all these lined up in a row. And they probably have about 20 of them, 10 on this side, 10 on this side. So I would go complaining. Oh, my God. I'm at physical therapy. And the head physical therapist, by about week 2, and I could do this now. That was really cool. She goes, Dee, what do you do for a living? I said, oh, you know, I work. So stupid. Because I don't like to tell people that, not because I'm ashamed, but sometimes people freak on you. So I finally said, well, I'm a pastor. She goes, wonderful. What's your homily on this Sunday? Homily. What the heck's a homily? Oh, my message. Every Friday, for 6 months, I would preach the gospel. And you thought I was a chains on physical therapy. Oh, no, no. Everybody was listening. They were the prisoners. I got to share the gospel. Every Wednesday, Donna would never fail to ask me, so, Dee, what's your message on? Praise God. So it did take me a couple weeks to finally change my perspective. Change your perspective. If you're in a negative situation, change your perspective. Praise God. And watch what God will do through you. All right? One more story. Where's Dolores? Dolores. Okay, this past week. By the way, Tuesday at 9:30, there's a ladies group downstairs, all ages, sizes, whatever. And we finished up a book, and we're just doing some movies, Christian movies, and we're talking about them. So Dolores is leading. We're reading the manual on how to slug the CD into the CD player, press the right buttons, make sure it shows up on here, and, you know, it was a joke. We finally did it. And so we finally did this, and we're just like, ah, we did it. And then, you know, when you were watching a DVD, what's the name of the one? Faith Like Potatoes? Faith Like Potatoes. Excellent. Go get it. Faith Like Potatoes. It takes place, I thought, in Australia. It's not. It's in someplace in Africa where they have an accent. You talk about, I know all these things in the world. Anyway, so Zambia, thank you. So the movie comes on, and you know what happens? Commercial 1, commercial 2. Right about commercial 2, I start complaining. Commercial 3, and I'm complaining. And Dolores gives me this nice little smack in the butt And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm complaining, which I thank you, because Dolores, when she corrects you, it was nice. It was nice. It was really nice. Okay. So I start complaining, and then she gives me this correction, and I look around the room, and the ladies, I thought they'd all be complaining, that are waiting for the movie to start. They're having a ball. They're all talking. So I changed my perspective when the fourth commercial came on and then the fifth. I was like, just enjoy the journey, Pastor D. So I did. So guys, I'm working on this. Ask God where you complain. Revelation. All right. Has anybody ever complained about their schedule? Like, Monday's my day off. Don't call me unless you're dead. And if not, you're fine. You're going to heaven. Okay. But Monday's my day off. And I have the day planned, baby. I'm going to get up at 5:30, read my Bible. Then I'm going to go to the gym. And then I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And go this. And I got my schedule. And then something happens and changes my schedule. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got to change my schedule. Don't you know I wanted to get 500 things done and I can only get 400 things done. Oh my gosh. Okay. How about change your perspective and say, you know what? I got places to go, people to see, and I am going to influence people for Jesus Christ today. If you can't change your negative situation, change your perspective. Okay. I could give you a couple more about me, but let's wrap up here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's pray. Praise God. Oh, wait, I got to give you one more scripture. One more scripture. Okay. We're good. We're good. Besides, it's so hot in here. My gosh. I just complained. Oh my God. Yay. It's so hot in here. All right. Open up to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord. How about let's change. If you can't change it, change your perspective. Instead of focusing on what you don't, why don't you focus on what you have? Right? Instead of complaining about what you lost, why don't you change your perspective on all the blessings you have? All right? Instead of saying, God, you didn't do this, why don't you thank him for all the things he has done on your life through Jesus. Praise God. All right, y'all at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. This is David, and I love what he says. Ready? Let all that I am praise the Lord. Did you see that? Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. And he starts listing them. Ready? He what? He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. And my youth is renewed like the eagles. Say that every morning, all right? Praise God. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord, okay? If I cannot change the unpleasant thing I'm stuck in, then how about you just let all that I am praise the Lord? All right? So your homework was write down what you complain about. Now the other part of that is write down how you can change your perspective. All right? Write down how you can change your perspective. All right? Praise the Lord. All right, close your eyes. Praise the Lord. Father God, I got like five more pages I could go, but let's just do this. Okay. Hallelujah.